Morning Newville. The scripture verse that I'll be reading this morning, Ezekiel 36, 19 through 28. It is on the back of the devotionals. And these are verses about which I have had wonderful conversations this week on the shed porch swing with the pastor. So I'm looking forward to the message today. Ezekiel 36, 19 through 28. I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered among the countries. I judged them according to their conduct and actions. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said about them, "These are the people of the Lord." Yet they had to leave his land in exile. Then I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Yahweh, the declaration of the Lord God, when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. Then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Amen.
One of the games we used to like to play when I was a kid was Monopoly. And in that game, you can get a get-out-of-jail-free card. Then you can, supposedly, if you do something and you land on the square where you go to jail, it's no problem if you have the card. You just turn in the card. Today I'm going to tackle a difficult subject, but a subject that I am absolutely convinced there is a massive amount of misunderstanding, and that is God's grace. Is God's grace a get-out-of-jail-free card? Does God's grace have a benefit? Does God's grace also have an obligation? And before I even start on this, I want to make something clear, eminently clear. Do I believe, and I use this term, but I don't really like it, do I believe that once saved, always saved? Absolutely, I believe that. But like Hamlet said, here's the rub. What does it mean to be saved? You know, my dad used to talk about what he called cheap grace. And I have talked to Christians who, based on grace, have planned to do something they knew was wrong. But then they would say, had conversations with them. Well, it's okay because after I do it, I will repent and God's grace will take care of it. Once saved, always saved? Yes. But you know something? Scripture makes it eminently clear. And this convicted me. And again, when I talk about these things, never think that I have this down. My job is to let the Holy Spirit speak to me, and then I speak to you. And he's speaking to me. If the scripture says this about that subject, if you are saved, there are signs and symptoms that show up in your life. So we're going to examine that today. And I'm going to take my time and go through this slowly, because it is so massively important. And this case this week that I talked about at the prayer request, just made me redouble my efforts on this situation, because I have had conversations with Christians, and I use that term in the broadest sense of the word, who actually think that issue that I alluded to is debatable, is equivocal, that there can be two sides to look at it. Why do I think that has happened to the church? Because of a massive misunderstanding of grace. Now, I want you to look at the inside of your devotional. And these are devotionals, by the way. You know, when we put these together, Carolyn and I, they have a theme. What you might want to do if you practice spiritual discipline, this devotional can be it for you all week. You look at the quotes, and the quotes tie in with the scripture on the back, and the quotes in the scripture then, of course, tie into the message. So it's a great way to practice your spiritual discipline. Now, what do the quotes say to you? We're talking about grace versus legalism. You've heard that. As a man or woman of God, if you emphasize conduct and behavior, you're accused of being legalistic. And you've heard Christians say, oh, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace now. We're not under the law. We're under the new covenant. That's absolutely true. And when I ask Christians, what is the new covenant? Where is it? What does it say? Usually, like Tori would say, I hear crickets. Does the law of God exert an influence on our lives today as God's people? Look at these quotes. What did Jesus say about it? He said, don't assume I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not. I came to fulfill it. Paul, second quote, do we then cancel the law through faith? In other words, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you have received the grace of Jesus Christ, Paul says, do we then cancel the law? Oh, no, absolutely not. Something else happens. Paradoxically, something else happens. We find ourselves upholding the law. The last one, Paul. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. What does this say to you about God's law? Is it irrelevant now? Are we under the law? Does God care about proper conduct out of his people today, or is it all grace? And what does grace mean? And what does grace do for us? Is there an obligation for God's people today? You know, I've been captivated by the 8th chapter of Romans. Really, my ministry would swirl and orbit around that chapter. And one thing that I got from that chapter, at the end of it, I can see, and I've said this before, I can see the law. Let's personify the law as an individual. I can see the law at the end of that 8th chapter of Romans, stand back and take a look at what Paul wrote, and the law says, yep, that's the kind of person I was always trying to create. But I couldn't. Because the flesh, the material that I had to work with, was weak. Let's go through this Ezekiel scripture together. Are you familiar with this scripture? This scripture talks about what? What is this scripture explicating? That's right, Barry. The new covenant. This is the new covenant. I know that you all think you're under the new covenant, and you are. But we better be clear what that is. Let's see what it is. Verse 19. You know what happened to them, the Babylonian exile. Israel sinned. Israel was supposed to be the light of the world. Israel was supposed to be a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. Who is Israel today? That's right, the church. Paul makes that very clear. He calls us the Israel of God. He says Israel is no longer defined by race. And you know, we better examine our theology on that, by the way, when we talk about Israel, the nation. Israel means striving with God. That's the definition of that word. Striving with God. Paul says now the Israel of God is consists of Jews and Gentiles. It consists of all nations. Verse 19, I dispersed them among the nations, and they were scattered among the countries. I judged them, and here's where, you know, I have a circle. Maybe you want to circle a couple things. I judged them according to what? Their conduct and their actions. I think we need to circle that. Conduct and actions. If you don't think that God cares about proper conduct from his people, let me tell you how profoundly unbiblical that is. And if you have the misconception that grace is a get-out-of-jail-free card, I'm going to show you, when we get through this, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see exactly that Paul says exactly the same thing. So their conduct and their actions were wrong. They came to the nations where they went, and instead of being what? Do you go to nations tomorrow when you go to work? Yeah, you do. You interact with people tomorrow? Well, they did too. And when they came to the nations, what did they do? They profaned my holy name. You know why? Because when you profess to someone that you are a believing, grace-filled Christian, I've got literature in my office. People know where I stand. It is therefore incumbent on me to what? They profaned his name, and people step back and they look at maybe my life and they might say, you are a person of God? Can't you hear that? The inflection in their voice there? This is God's holy nation? You tell me you're a Christian? And you sign on with what's going on in this country? These are the people of God, and yet they had to leave his land in exile. Verse 21. Look at God's concern here. You know what's happened in our church? I talked about this last Sunday. We've lost the concept that we need to please God. Let me assure you, we very much need to please God. We've lost that. And grace has now taken the place of that concept, and grace says, well, God's here to please you. Look at God's concern, verse 21. Then I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they went. Do you think God still has a concern for his holy name? What did Jesus say when they asked him, Master, how do we pray? Master, what should we really pray for? What was the very first words out of Jesus' mouth? Nathan? Jesus said that. He said, Our Father in the heavenly realm, may your name be honored as holy. The same concern that God is demonstrating here in Ezekiel, written centuries before Jesus walked on our earth. And God says then, my concern about this people running around calling themselves Christians is not so much them. God says, it's their profaning my name. And Jesus says, yeah, I want God's name to be honored as holy right here on earth, the same way it is honored as holy in the heavenly realm. Don't think that has ever left. That is still God's number one concern. Hey, listen. Humanity is created for God's own use. He can do with us what he wants. God is not for our use. We're here to serve him. Let's get that straight. And the number one thing he said when he created man in Genesis chapter 1, what did he say? What did he say that you're to do? You're to be my image bearer. You're to reflect me into the world. That's why I created man. Nothing's changed. Verse 22, therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. It's not for your sake that I will act. Do you see that? It's not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations where you went. I will honor the holiness of my great name. Is that not an interesting concept to you? That God himself, my mind can't get around that, but God himself wants to honor the holiness of his own name. You see that? I will honor the holiness of my... If you won't do it, I'm going to do it. That's what God's saying. You're profaning it. I cannot allow that to continue. I'm going to act. And I'm going to act in such a way that my name is going to be honored. Now watch how this plays out. I will honor it, even if you won't, which you profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Now look very carefully, and here's some circling. The nations will know that I am Yahweh. How? The declaration of the Lord God, Ezekiel plugs in there. And Ezekiel's like saying, well, just in case you think it's me that's saying this, this is the declaration of the Lord God. And God says, the nations will know that I am Yahweh. When? How? How? When I, God says, when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight. Is that or is that not image bearing? How do the nations, how does the public, how do the people that I'm going to have contact with tomorrow know who God is when he demonstrates his holiness through me and through you in their sight? Let me assure you, the world's not reading Scripture. Let me assure you, the world's not going to church. And you look at the new covenant in Jeremiah 31:31. And God says to Jeremiah in there, he says, I'm going to write my law on your heart, future promise. I'm going to place it within you. And then he makes a statement that confused me for years, but then I finally, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes up to that. He said, when I do that, the second thing that's going to happen is no longer will you have to teach your brother or your neighbor saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me. How? By seeing his holiness through your life as an image bearer. You look at the ancient Roman world. You know Roman history? By the way, what's happening in our nation? This Gosnell case? Rome's got nothing on us as far as debauchery, which finally brought Rome to their knees, that kind of attitude. Let's see, where was I going with that? Image bearing. holiness. Well, let's move on. Maybe it'll come to me. So, verse 23. No, we're done with that. Let's go to verse 24. Here's how God's going to act. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Now, I want you, here's what I did, and it was kind of interesting. Every time you see the word I will, circle that. That's God's action. That is everything that he's going to do. And remember, why is God doing this? What is his main concern? The holiness of his name. What option does God have to demonstrate the holiness of his name? Humanity. So God has to act. I will take you from the nations and gather you. Verse 25. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Look at everything that God is going to do. And he's doing it for a purpose. So that God's people, by the Spirit, get their act together. I will, verse 27, and here's the crux of it. I will place my spirit within you. And what will that spirit within us do? Causes, enables, impels, compels us to do something. What does it impel, compel, enable us to do? Follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. The problem with Israel, according to race, was their conduct and behavior. And it made God look bad, basically. Because people were saying, these are the people of God. And then God acts, but he makes it clear. I'm going to act not for your sake, Israel. I'm going to act because I have concern for my holy name and you are going around profaning it. So, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And the end result is you are going to be moved to follow my laws and you're going to be moved to carefully keep my ordinances. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. And here's what I told them, I'm going to tell you. Stop trying to be a Christian. Forget that. It doesn't work. You're going to get fatigued. You're going to be bitter. And you're going to be patently unattractive to everybody who looks at you. Where should we put our energies? I'll place my spirit within you. And that spirit's going to cause you to act and behave differently. Therefore, my energy, your energy, your time should be spent embracing what that spirit is doing within us, right? Because if you embrace what the Spirit is doing within you, you will find, oddly and strangely, you'll say, I want to go to church. I want to hear his word. I want to read scripture. Now, I don't know where that came from, because I used to look at it as a chore. Why? Because you were trying to do it. If you had to characterize your Christian life in your own mind, rhetorical question, how would you characterize it right now? adventurously expectant, like Paul calls it? Or a list of things you don't do? A list of things you can't do? How about this? What if your Christian life was a list of things you could do for God? You could get involved in the kingdom. You could honor his name as holy. I have a privilege to do it. And I find, when I embrace what the Spirit is doing, that my affection has changed. My love has changed. My values and goals and commitments have changed, independent of me trying to do that. Again, diet. And I know I allude to diet all the time, but it's just, stop trying to not eat carbohydrates, refined carbs. Stop trying. I have patients come in and I give them a diet. Sandy, I forgot that, by the way. Okay. What? Teresa's giving me a look like, okay. Anyway, back to this point. I say to these patients, you can eat everything you want on this list. You can have everything on here and eat as much as you want on this list. And you will find if you do that, you won't want the other. Now, I have a hard time selling people on that. But that's the spiritual concept here. I talk to my boys about, they're men now. They're fine men. And I told them when they were at home, I said, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you put into your head. Be careful. And here, listen to this. The problem is not that you watch it. It's much deeper than that. You know what the problem is? And I'm not saying they do this. I'm not saying that my sons do this. The problem is not that you watch it. The problem is that you want to. Do you see that? Do you see the difference? The problem is not that you're laughing at or that you're watching it. The problem is you're entertained by it. You should watch those things, and it should be so distasteful to you that what will you do? You'll stop watching it. You see? You'll stop participating in the activity because it doesn't attract you. What's the bottom line to all of this? Of following his laws and ordinances? Verse 28. Then you will live. Then you'll really experience genuine humanity. You will live in the land that I gave your fathers. And here it is. Maybe you want to circle this. You will be my people. And I will be your God. And all that that entails. I fast forward to Revelation 22 in my mind. And I read the end of the book there. When God's dwelling is with men. And the New Jerusalem comes down out of the heavenly realm. And the angel is telling John, the bottom line to all of this is that God will live with us and he will be our God and you will be his people. Now here's the question that we end with today. Is he your God and are you his person? Do you feel compelled and impelled and enabled to follow his statutes and follow his laws? Or is it a struggle? And does God care about proper conduct? The answer is absolutely. So what is grace? Next week, what is grace? We're going to go next week to Romans chapter 8. I want you to this week, here's your assignment. If you practice spiritual discipline, you take your devotional and you devour this. Like Bonhoeffer said, if you live with Scripture, it opens for you. Live with this, live with the quotes, and Romans chapter 8 will unfold for you next week. And I tell you, your faith will never be the same. Let's pray. Our Lord and Master.